I was not expecting you to play Justin Bieber. Oh shit, hold on, I forgot my iPad. Oh wait, do you like Lucky Day? Yeah. I'll show you after. He's actually really fine. Okay, we're gonna need this at some point, but okay. Welcome to the second episode of Between Us. That's my podcast name. So this week's episode is going to be about emotional intelligence in a relationship, okay? And for this episode, as I said, we're going to be having guests sometimes. This episode is with Ajiro.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so my first question is, well, you said to moderate it, so do you practice self-care?
Yeah, I was saying that I try to, like, meditate, you know? I think that's, like, the biggest, like, form of self-care I have. Other than that, though, like, I try not to, like, eat out too much, you know, and healthy food, you know, just some vegetables and shit.
Yeah.
That's part of self-care, I think. It's like you know, keeping your, like, physical health. Yeah. I think that's pretty much it, though. Maybe some gym, too.
Okay. Okay, so I want to do this segment on my show where we go, like, through, like, Twitter debates. Mm-hmm. I want to start, since you're the first guest, they're, like, very simple, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think, I want to know your answers. I'm actually interested. So, right. Who do you think pays on the first date?
Bro, okay. I would usually say the guy, mm-hmm. but there are instances where the girl asks the first date first, you know? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of rare.
Yeah.
But if that happens, then I really don't know. Because, like, you know, you can't blame the guy for not paying it if he's like.
You asked me to come.
Yeah, asked me to come, and then it's like. It was especially like if it's like a shitty date and it's like alright, you can't ask me to pay the whole bill, you know?
Okay, personally I think that like it's whoever asks. So if a girl asks and it's a shitty mm-hmm. date, then that's just on her and she's mm-hmm. gotta pay. Mm-hmm. But if like a guy asks me out, like obviously I'm gonna offer to pay, but yeah. like
Yeah.
You know? Okay, does body count matter?
I would generally it'd be annoying, but like I think there's a difference between like virginity and non-virginity, you know. So in that sense, like the difference between 0 and 1 body count would be kind of different, kind of like I guess important
mm-hmm.
to a certain degree. But then that onwards from there, like okay, it doesn't really matter. Like, I wouldn't really care.
Wait, so you care. If a girl's a virgin rather than if she's had like 30 bodies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so, probably. Probably.
Because which one do you prefer?
No, there's no preference. It's just that there's a huge difference in like what the first time having sex with that person entails, you know? If they're a virgin or not. That's my opinion. I don't know.
Actually, yeah.
Right? But if it's like, I don't know, anywhere from like, 1 to 30, like, yes, there was a huge difference, but, like...
Yeah.
It's not something that I would really care about.
That... I never heard that one before.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's a crazy answer. I think that body count... I feel like if you think body count matters for a guy, you have to think it matters for a girl. Just, like, vice versa. Like, there's so many people that 100%. I've met that are, like... Oh, like, it's different because the guy's, like, a key and the girl's, like, the fucking hole or whatever. So, yeah, I think personally, depending on age, it matters. So, like, me being 19, talking to a 19-year-old guy, I don't expect him to have a body count of, like, fucking 50. Do you know what I mean? So, it's like, what the fuck? But it's, like, I don't really, like, care. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, this is too much or this is too little, you know? So it's
like, The thing is, because, like, it low-key depends on, like, your upbringing of high school. You know?
Yeah.
Like if you live in like a country where there's no sex at all and like it's frowned upon,
yeah.
Then like you know, it would automatically be lower compared to, like, let's say you live somewhere where everyone's fucking around. You know?
Yeah, like New York. AIDS.
Exactly. And then, like, bro, it's inevitable that your body count probably is going to be higher because, like, it's just more socially acceptable.
Yeah. Okay, period. Okay, so that segment. Okay, so remember our episode is about emotional intelligence and relationships. So tap into that part of your brain, okay? Okay, so like first question is pretty easy. How do you think that you fall for somebody? Like, how do you think you gain a crush on somebody? What does she have to do?
What does she have to do? I think it's spending time. I was reading up on this thing what is it called? It starts with a P. It's called the something effect. Bro, Jamie, pull it up. It starts with a P. But basically, the theory is that, like, and it's backed up by psychological evidence, that, like, the more time you spend with that person, the more likely you're going to develop feelings of love.
Hmm.
So I think it's just a matter of time, hopefully.
Okay, but that's like objectively.
I'm saying like physical time, you know, like the time you have with each other. So I don't believe in like texting that person as like considered part of the time that you're spending with that person.
Okay.
It's just way more emotionally disengaged in text.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you guys are going back and forth at 3 a.m. or something, maybe that's like different. But like, yeah, maybe it's just the time, bro. For me, that like. I develop feelings for you.
Okay. Yeah. See that. Personally, mm-hmm. I feel like it's so easy to gain a crush on somebody. Like, do you think it's easy? Because I think it's really easy to gain a crush on somebody. It takes like 2 seconds.
Without spending that time, you're saying?
Okay, yeah, because it's like, okay, once you are physically attracted to somebody, everything else just kind of starts adding up from there. So, like, once I'm physically attracted to somebody and, like, we're talking, then it's just like, oh fuck, like I think I kind of like that guy. But it's like, but when it's like when I really like somebody, like I don't think I've ever really liked somebody like that for real.
Yeah.
So I don't really know, but it's like getting a little school crush is like so easy. Just smile.
That's
literally all I have to do. But I guess I do agree, physical time, like I don't believe in that whole texting shit.
Yeah,
stupid. Okay, how many relationships have you been in? You're not going to dub, you can just say like a number.
Like, just numbers, no context to it, it's gotta be 3.
Do you want to give context?
Okay, but I don't consider the 2 serious that was prior. I don't consider it serious, so I wouldn't say it's like a relationship, you know?
Mm.
The definition that I have today. And then the last one I had was, would be considered a relationship, so I'd say 1.
Okay, 1. Period. Do you think... like being in a relationship has enhanced your emotional intelligence?
Bro, I feel like you gotta define what emotional intelligence is.
Okay, how do you define emotional intelligence?
I see like the ability to... I think emotional intelligence I associate with like emotional maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarity there.
Oh, yeah, there is a lot of similarity. I feel like as humans, we just associate intelligence with maturity. But I think emotional intelligence is being able to understand feelings, like whether those are yours or somebody else's, like being able to understand that not everything in life is actually like black and white. There's definitely a lot of gray area, like, and how people react to things is different. So like just accepting and understanding people's feelings, that's what I think emotional intelligence is.
Being able to understand the other person's feelings.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of you think it's like something simple because you're able to do it, but so many people don't know how to understand somebody's feelings, and it's so. So, given off of that, like, would you say you're emotionally intelligent?
I would say I am. I would say I am emotionally intelligent, but that's not because of dating people.
Okay.
It's just, I think, my character.
Yeah.
You know? But being in a relationship definitely did enhance my emotional intelligence.
Okay, how so?
Because it made me learn that I have to protect my, that I have to protect myself.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So it's like, I think it's like, I think I learned that in the context of emotional intelligence, it's like, bro, I'm losing brains.
I was following you. I was like, okay,
bro. Bro, that brain cell just died. I was literally talking. Yeah, that one just died. Bro, what was the question, though?
I feel like we strayed on to another question in the middle of that, and I can't remember what it was. I said, like... I said... Like, do you consider yourself emotionally intelligent? And you said, yeah, because, like, that's not, like, not because you've been in love, though. You think being in love has enhanced it or being in a relationship or whatever. And then I was going to say, I'm very emotionally intelligent, I think, you know? But that's only because, like, I've been in therapy and stuff. Like, it's, I've never been in a relationship, so I can't say it's enhanced it, depleted it, or whatever. But I do think being in therapy and having, like, strong friendships, it really does help it. So I don't know. I guess we're just humans, you know, like we wanna be around people, and that I feel like being around people always helps.
Yeah.
But since you my next question anyways was something really easy. Like, do you know what your love language is?
I think it's, wait, what are the five again?
Okay, so we got physical touch, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, and gift giving.
I think it'd be acts of service and
wait, is this time. Is this like what somebody has to do to you or what you do to others? Because I feel like there's a difference.
Yeah, what is the definition of love language? I always thought it was like being the recipient of it.
Okay, so you like when people do it for you.
Yeah.
So you like acts of service, you said?
Acts of service
and quality time.
And quality time.
And how do you think you give love? Because I feel like they could be different.
Bro, I hate receiving gifts, but I love gift giving.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Gift giving is one of them. Probably quality time as well. I think you give that. Yeah, I'm not too great at the giving words of affirmation, but I like receiving it. So that might be something I gotta work on.
No, my love language is to, like, for somebody to love me are, like, words of affirmation and quality time. And then to give to others, I think it's gift giving. Because you're right. I like to give gifts. Like, when I see something and I think of somebody, like, I want to give it to them.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want somebody to do the same thing for me. Like, you don't have to. You don't spend your money on me. It's okay. But I also think physical touch is one of them. Like.
Value?
Yeah. Okay, this is my favorite part. I actually got really excited about this. So I found like these scenarios online, and let's go through them. Right. There's only like two, I think.
Right.
No, there's three, and I want you to tell me what you would do, because some of these are actually like fucked. Okay. 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 Max says, this is Max's story. Okay, I've cheated on my girlfriend a few times, but they were really mistakes. She kind of knows, but she never brings it up. So I guess it doesn't bother her. Lately, I've been wondering if I should fess up about what I've done. What do you think he should do? I feel like that one's simple, but, you know.
Bro, he gotta fess up. He gotta fess up straight up, bro. Like, because the thing is, he's saying that she's unbothered by it, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way. Like, if she knew, or she'd be bothered by it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's either that she doesn't know, or she's low-key ready to break up, you know? And she doesn't.
Actually, yeah. I guess that could work. I mean, what I was thinking when I read this in the beginning was, like, she doesn't give a fuck about that nigga, bro. Because if your girl knows she's cheating on you, and you're cheating on her, and she's not bringing it up, she doesn't fuck with you.
Yeah, and low-key, she's cheating. At that point, right?
Yeah, I think at that point it would be tit for tat, and she's definitely like getting some on the side.
Yeah, they gonna break up.
Yeah. But would you break up without fessing up? Or would you fess up and then break up? Because there's some people who.
I fess up and break up.
Really?
Yeah. Because, like, ah, fuck. Okay, am I not? The thing is, there's one part of me that thinks there's no need to.
Yeah.
So why?
That's what I was thinking in my head, yeah.
But if you're quite committed to the breakup and, like, you're thinking no contact, nothing, no association with this person ever again.
Like, clean break?
Yeah. I'd say just fess up so that you just get it off your chest, because there's some guilt that you're going to feel.
Yeah, for your whole life. Yeah. Would you cheat?
100% not.
Okay, what are you going to say 100%?
Fucking hate you.
No, but okay, what I was thinking, because let's say if you were in that situation, right? Let's say roles were reversed. And, like, your girlfriend, you think she's cheating on you, and, like, she doesn't bring it up, but, like, you think, yeah, like, do you think, like, as mad as you could ever be at that, like, would you go and cheat back, or would you just break up with her?
I would not cheat back. I would break up with her.
That's really
because funny. even after the breakup, I probably wouldn't go around fucking people, you know?
Yeah.
So I won't cheat out of, like,
spite?
Yeah, out of spite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably just confirm it out of
it. Yeah, I agree. I don't think cheating's ever justified.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one, bro. Holy shit, dude. You gotta stay with me. It's a long one. Okay, so the title of this one is "My Girlfriend is Annoyed That I Sent My Friend Screenshots of My Girlfriend's Dating Profile." Okay, I feel like there's so many layers to this story. Okay, I went out for a drink with my girlfriend and a friend of mine last night. My friend was talking about how he hasn't been getting many matches on his dating apps. So my girlfriend asked him to show us his profile, and she would give him some tips on what girls might look for and how he can improve, you know? While we did that, he swiped on a few people, and we noticed that the girlfriend of a friend of mine was on the app. They were recent photos, so it's not an old account. I asked him to screenshot the profile and send it to me, since I thought my friend deserved to know. He did that and then swiped on her, and he matched. My girlfriend said we should stay out of it, but I just said that if she's on Tinder, then I'd want somebody to let me know, and I just can't hide this from my friend. I sent him the screenshots, and my girlfriend said I was interfering in something that was none of my business, but I just repeated, I can't hide that my friend's girlfriend is cheating on him, or at least trying to cheat. She just said that I'm causing drama for no reason, but I also pointed out that she'd likely want to know if it was me on dating apps, and that is the right thing to do. How would you handle this?
Wait, how would who handle it?
You. If you were the guy.
If I was the guy?
Would you send it? Because I don't think you send it yet. Like, would you send it to your friend and be like, yo, your girl's on this app? Or would your girlfriend persuade you to be like, mind your business?
I would have to send it. Unfortunately.
You'd send it?
Yeah.
100%. I mean, I don't think there's any like aspect of me that wouldn't, I would send it immediately actually. Like, you wouldn't even have been able to convince me not to send it, because that's just like straight up cheating.
Yeah, it's a given that you gotta like show the information that you do know, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like, given off this information, like, would you think your girlfriend was a little sus?
Oh, that you can't trust her maybe because of it?
Yeah. Because why the fuck are you mad at me for being a real friend? It has nothing to do with you. You're not cheating, so unless.
True. You're thinking she might be cheating, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that could be it. Yeah. So then you would have to be a little bit suspect, yeah. I mean, bro, but it's like context dependent, you know? You gotta have a real conversation with her. Because you can't assume too many things, and like, I don't really like assumptions without communication.
Actually, yeah.
Right?
Assumptions without communication is literally just stupid shit, I think.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point. Okay. Going back to emotional intelligence. Uh-huh. To you, did we talk about that already? To you, what emotional intelligence is? We did, right?
Yeah, I said it was like emotional maturity.
Okay, period. Mm-hmm. And are you currently looking for a relationship? Like, are you current? Do you like somebody? Are you currently seeking a relationship? I knew that. I just needed like to make sure, you know. What are things you look for in a partner?
think that book's one of them. It's a little bit like the blood book, right? Like, you are looking for someone who can provide a little bit of time, because that's something I truly value. So, yeah, preferably I'd like to go on like at least one date a week. Like, what do you think is like the appropriate number of dates a week?
I'm thinking, I've never been in a relationship, so I actually have no idea. I never even thought of that shit. But I'm also thinking about the fact that we're in school, like,
yeah,
all the time. And some people work, and some people are taking more classes than others.
Yeah.
So, like, I would, like, love to say let's go on a date a week. But at the same time, like, maybe that date that week would just have to be in, like, the library or something. Do you get me? Like, so, like, I feel like a reasonable amount of dates at our age is maybe like once every like 2 weeks, like set a date, like be like every other Saturday or some shit like that. But it's like, yeah, you're right, two people do definitely have to commit to that, or it's just gonna be like,
yeah,
not the vibe at all.
Yeah, just especially because I value that quality time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, if we're just like dating just for like other pleasures and not enough of that time we're able to like conversate and have deep conversations, then look at the relationship is not fulfilling my needs.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, would you say that, like, emotional intelligence is something you look for in a partner? Like, based off of your definition, because you said it's maturity, right?
Yeah, 100% emotional intelligence is something I look for. Well, because, like, well, my ex was someone who didn't really have great emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really rough. Like, I recently found out that I have disorganized attachment style.
Okay.
I was self-diagnosing anxious attachment style.
Yeah.
Yeah, and disorganized attachment style comes from, like, your inability to predict your significant other's
reaction to things.
Reactions, their mood, and, like, overall, you're unreliable. You're not able to depend on them reliably. You know? So, yeah. And I think that comes with emotional, like, I think it interlinks with emotional intelligence. But,
yeah, because right? Like, you have to be able to. Yeah, because I feel like, let's say, like, even if I'm not able to handle my emotions or, like, that's the situation, you got to think about how your actions are going to reflect your, like, make your partner feel. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just be lashing out and shit because you're having a bad day. Like, think deeply about what you're doing.
Yeah.
But okay. So, like, I know people with anxiously attached styles and stuff like that. But mine has always been, like so much more different because, like, mine's fearful avoidant. And that's, like...
That's disorganized, right?
Yeah. But yeah. There's, like, you can be avoidant or just, like, or fearful avoidant. Because it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, oh, like, I'm going to leave anybody before they can leave me. Like, people with daddy issues or abandonment issues or shit like that. Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Well, do you ever self-sabotage your relationship?
Oh, dude, that's why I've never been in a relationship. I feel like okay, yeah, I've never really told a guy I actually liked him and meant it. I don't think, like, I think I've every time I've ever told a guy that I like him, I'm telling him because I know I have no chance with him, so I'm just trying to get it over with, like, you know what I mean? Or like something that could go good, but like I don't think like I deserve something good, like, so I'm gonna fuck it up. But like as I said, I've been in therapy for like a long time, like since I was 16. Mm-hmm. So I went through, I like talked through that and stuff. So I think like right now I could definitely like be the best girlfriend to somebody, I think. You know what I mean? Like finally I'm in the good headspace to handle myself and somebody else. But like before, like, dude, everything in my, like, okay, the first serious talking stage that I had was really good, you know, but I dragged that shit on for so long because I was like, no, this guy can't be my boyfriend. Like, I can't have a boyfriend. You know, this is crazy. And like, that's toxic as fuck, dude. They did. He like wanted to buy me flowers and all this stuff on Valentine's Day, but then I didn't pull up to school. No. Because I was like, yeah, dude.
Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
I
didn't know. I was scared. I don't know. I really don't know what my, like, whole thing was. But, like, I just didn't want anything to do with that. Yeah, dude.
It's like there's one side of you that wants a relationship, wants to belong. And then there's the other side of you that's
fearful. Like, it won't last or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, no. The thing is, because I've talked about it so much in therapy, I know exactly where it stemmed from. Like, it's literally so far back. Oh. But it's like a whole thing. So, I think you're able to change your attachment style.
Yeah.
Sure. Because I know people who went from, like, anxious to secure, but I've never met anybody that's gone from, like, disorganized to secure. It's a little, like, dooming.
What I've heard about disorganized is that, like, anxious attachment style and avoidant attachment style or insecure attachment style, those are the three that are really talked about. But disorganized, apparently, it's a newer concept.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's because that trauma comes very, like, in a specific context,
mm-hmm.
that disorganized attachment style isn't too common, you know, because every, like, you have to go through that trauma.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's not, I don't think it's talked about enough, but I feel like a lot of people have it, though.
I know, you know, and but, it's
I know where that trauma comes from, exactly. I can pinpoint where that trauma comes from.
I feel like not a lot of people can do that, so it's kind of crazy. Like,
yeah.
But, like, I also think that somebody could be raised in a very secure household and then go through, like, a really toxic relationship and just completely fuck up their...
Oh, yeah, that's me. Because, yeah, I took an attachment style test from the attachment project I think I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they give you a graph. And the x-axis is anxious, the y-axis is avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
And people who have high anxious, high avoidant attachment style automatically become disorganized because organized attachment style literally is anxious. And so with my partner, I was right here.
Yeah.
You know? But my parents were down here. I had very secure attachment style with my parents. Partner one, partner two, parent one, parent two, and general. So it was like mom, dad, okay. and general.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was completely secure. Just my partner, bro. It's anxious attachment all the way.
Oh shit, dude. No. We're learning about more of like attached. I feel like when you have like parents, it's like there's like indulgent parents. There's like the very authoritarian parents that are just like, you must do this. You know, like those parents expect a lot. And like I had like a dad that was there sometimes, you know, and then I had a mom that's there all the time, but she's just a little too indulgent. She let me do whatever I want. So I was black box in the beginning, basically. So my hope is that like my attachment style is bad, like as a kid, and then like in a relationship, hopefully it can be secure. Yeah. Do you get me? You know, like.
No, but I totally believe that you can change your attachment
style. Yeah. 100%. I don't think mine might be fearful avoidant right now today, but like maybe a week ago. You know, but yeah, like what does that what does that say about me? So I don't know.
Not the same way.
Like a week ago, yours would have been different.
No, literally, I took a shroom trip on Wednesday, and I'm not anxious attachment. Like, I'm not even joking.
Okay, yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like, on shrooms, you do realize a lot about yourself.
Yeah, bro.
That was life changing. Yeah.
Basically, I was like, it started off real nice, right? I was like, jazz music and shit, and then all of a sudden, I saw a translucent door, right, with a key lock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's translucent, which means I can look through on the other side what's going on. And there was this like clear pathway that was extremely foggy. And basically, I had the decision to either sleep on shrooms, or open that door. And I chose to
open the door. The fuck? Yeah.
No, but it seemed extremely scary, bro. Like my heart was like pounding.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
A moment where I was like, fuck, do I commit to this or no?
Yeah.
So then I decided. And then, yeah, all this trauma came like rushing through.
Oh shit, yeah, that's crazy. No, mine was not that extreme, but when I was on it, I like seen like an angel. I swore, like, you know, like the angel description in the Bible is like an eye with the wings. Uh-huh. I seen that, and like I felt like I was in a trance. I literally was like on my knees outside. Like Emily and Jade had to like pick me up and be like, bro, let's fucking go. And then I just remember that for so long, I always thought like, you know, like these things about myself. And then I was realizing I don't think those things. Like I've just been taught those things. And it was like a whole thing. And the next morning I woke up and like the day just felt brighter. Do you know what I mean? It's like you actually like faced a lot of shit that you didn't know was shit that you had to face. Do you know what I mean? Crazy. Okay. Let's see. Okay, these are my wrap-up questions because I thought they were, like, good ones. Okay, what advice would you give to Ajiro before his first relationship?
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. The thing is, for me, I have no regrets in my first
relationship. Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah, but that's only because, like, I recovered from it, and mm-hmm. I have, like, I learned, I realize that I learned so much from it right now.
Yeah.
That's why I have no regrets.
Yeah.
But would I want to go through that again? Like, probably not.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to my younger self, I just say go through it. Because it'd be worth it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Okay, that's not what I was expecting you to say. Do you think that, like, who you are right now, because remember you said the shroom trip, like, the whole changing your attachment style, mm-hmm. do you think that right now you can be a better partner than you were before you went through that?
100%.
Yeah? 100%. Okay.
Like, yeah. Bro, because part of the reason why my relationship didn't work mm-hmm. was because I didn't have enough, like, emotional intelligence, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't the one that was able to communicate, like, my needs and what I thought openly.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there was, like, some part of it was, like, hard on her, because whenever I tried to open up, you know, she would, like, break down, you know? And so then, like, you're never really able to, like, have a genuine conversation, and, like, you know that the response is going to be something that, you know, outrageous, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. What was the question?
The question was, do you think that you can be a better partner? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, I do agree, like, with that statement for you. Like, I'm not saying that, like, the guy I met in first year was a bad guy at all, but you seem like you have much more depth to you now. Like, I feel like when I, like, talked to you before, maybe I was naive as well, but I felt like we were, like, naive. Like, we had, like, I don't know, like, we had an unrealistic, like, ray of sunshine over our head or something.
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like, now we're not those balls of sunshine, but not in a bad way.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
not in, like, oh, like, it's just the fact that, like, we're able to, like, weather different
yeah.
seasons. Like, it felt like yeah. those people were just happy and, like, anything could take them
yeah,
down. And
yeah.
it's just, like, now I feel like you have more to you, you get me? Like,
yeah.
so, like, yeah.
And there's, like, an element of it.
Yes, that's you know, what it is.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that ray of sunshine where, like, you don't realize what reality actually looks like.
Yeah.
You know? And then you go through it, and then, like, you finally start to
grow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's crazy. Like, they were able to look back on that, though, because it was literally a year ago.
That's crazy.
But so much happens in a year. Like, university years are so large. Like, they're so large.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Well, that was my last question.
All right.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, yeah.